here in the Lord's house tonight. I appreciate the meeting. And I'm looking for revival. I did not come to just have a few nights of meeting and then go back to the house. I want revival. Revival's not for lost people. You can't revive a dead man. If we've got a mind at all for God, we ought to want revival. Revival has a price. Churches today are not willing to pay the price. We're too busy doing other things. But I'm going to tell you, when lost folk get on our heart just right, we'll be seeking revival. In verse number 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near, and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Esaias, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? And Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. I want to preach tonight, if God will help me, on chariot to the chariot. I think it's all our responsibility, everybody. Yeah, I don't think you have to be a preacher to carry a message. You have to be a preacher to preach. But your life is some kind of message. And we're mistaken, I think, today greatly in putting emphasis on shouting. More emphasis on running the aisles than we do on winning souls to Jesus Christ. And that's changed with this age. Back yonder, it used to be the opposite. The emphasis was on winning folk to God. And when folks get into shape to win folks to God, revival is a byproduct. I know that's right. Now, I don't know about you tonight, whether you want to see people saved or not. What I'm seeing traveling around over the country, there's not much desire. I hear a lot of preaching about throwing away cigarettes, keeping her hair just right, and that's all right. But that wasn't why Christ died. The blood that flowed from Calvary was for sinners. The Bible said Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if your heart's right, you want to see sinners get right. That morning when I got saved, I was purer that morning than I've ever been in my life. And the first thing that flashed across the windows of my soul when I realized I was born again was I want to see somebody get what I've got this morning. And that's still burning in me tonight, to see some poor sinner that's on his road to hell and thinks everything's all right and we're a bunch of dummies. I'm going to tell you, it amazes me what the Holy Ghost can do for a sinner, a self-righteous sinner. I think now, probably, There are several folks in here tonight that are lost. Some of them never been saved. I mean, just coming to the age of accountability. Others, no doubt, in here tonight got your name on the church booth and putting on a pretty good show, but it ain't a working. I want to tell you, you can't live right and be lost. You can't be righteous and not know Jesus Christ. And I'll say to you tonight, you're the most miserable person in the face of this earth trying to act saved when you've never been born again. Now, right in your hearing, an incident here in this post-crucifixion, post-ascension of Jesus Christ, the beginnings of the workings of the church. The deacons have been appointed, filled with, and he's having revival here in Samaria. And it's old-fashioned, God-sent revival. Folks are being saved. Devils are being changed. Fortune tellers realizing that what they're doing is not getting it and turning to Jesus Christ. And God's a working in folks' hearts. And in the middle of all of this, when folks are bowing, getting born again, God speaks to Philip and said, I want to take you away from all this and put you down yonder in a lonely desert. I've never understood the dealings and the workings of God. I've never been able to figure out God's itinerary and plan. And it amazes me and still dumbfounds me how that God will call people here and there and put them here and over there. And that don't make sense to me. But somehow or other, it always works out. And for sinners that want to get right, you hear this old wore out preacher tonight, we need some Baptist folk, some Methodist folk, Presbyterians or whatever else is saved to get it in our hearts that God knows where sinners are and what it'll take for them to get right. And he needs some folks that'll just follow him. Now we claim to be old time Christians. But folks that won't follow the Spirit, it's not old timers. It's not how high you jump, what kind of Bible you carry, but it's the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to hear this tonight, and I want you to get it good. I've tried to hammer it in the ears of my people. One of these days, I'll leave Union Chapel. Either God will call me into the desert place, or I'll die and go to glory. But I've tried to tell them how you pick a preacher. You pay no attention. You pay no attention to his mannerism. You pay no attention to how much education he's got, whether it's great or little. But you pay attention whether he's got the Holy Ghost with him or not. And I said, you be particular now on how he deals with sinners. I don't care how much of a crowd he can gather. I don't care about his ability to work with young people. His oratory makes no sense how he deals with sinners and the Holy Ghost in his life. If he doesn't have that, leave him alone. Because the heartbeat of God is lost humanity. I prayed as a young man for, I didn't know what you called it then, but an evangelistic spirit. A desire and a burning to see people get right with God. And it's still in me. I haven't done much with it, but it's in me to see people get saved. Now, I want you to get the picture tonight, because I want to preach to you about this carrying it to the chariot. You see, here's a window of opportunity that Philip has and that this Ethiopian has. This Ethiopian may be a black man. It doesn't make any difference. There's two Ethiopias in that day, one in Africa and one on up in the European continent. And I don't know. It don't make any difference if he is polka dotted, if he is a sinner. And God Almighty is going to make connection here. Here's the Ethiopian eunuch, been to Jerusalem for to worship. Didn't say he'd been down there worshiping. It said he'd been down there to worship. There's a lot of people go to church to worship and never do hit it. There's a whole lot of Baptist folks that go to church on Sunday morning. They say to worship, but they never do hit it. And this man is went over there to worship, and he is sincere. He had heard from the people he worked for, and he's probably a proselyte Jew, raised up and told the law and what he ought to do in order to please God and the law, but he's missing it. Now I want to tell you tonight, if you just got purpose in your heart how to get ahead, look right down at the church house, you're a missing it. There's something in this that's more real than life itself. And if you get it, thank God, you'll know you've got it, and nobody'll have to tell you. Whoa, I'm glad it's real. Now, down in the desert comes a chariot, and from Samaria, little old deacon evangelist Philip is a traveling. If Philip's 30 minutes late, he misses it. If this man's 30 minutes early, he misses it. But God, now God's reading the sinner. He knows where he's going to be. Isn't it amazing? Some of you, I was over yonder in a tent meeting. Some of you went to church to find a girl and found conviction under old time preaching. It's amazing what God can do to get old sinners under the saddle. And oh, God can. I preached on last night. You can't do it. I'm going to tell you again. You can't do it. It's going to take the direction of God. You can pray for that boy on the chariot and get them started right. And if the church is doing right, there'll be a connection down the road somewhere and they'll get in. Glory to His name. I'm glad I'm not serving a Democrat or a Republican. I'm glad, thank, there's a God in heaven that knows where the sinners are. Amen. I believe it is all fixed up in heaven before the world has ever made. So now we need to get this Philip, this Ethiopian, started just at the right time. Philip at the right time. Oh yeah. You see, thinking things planned ahead of time, certainly do.
Yeah.
They've got to know it all about the Ethiopian before he's ever born. And oh, you see the little old window of opportunity. If somebody to me said, let's go, us don't go to church tonight, but let's go down and hear the old courageous poet sing.
Yeah, you know.
Are y'all hearing me?
Right.
It's that thing. I think we go to church. We carry these kids to church so much, and I'm afraid we're going to burn them out.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, you better listen to God. Now, to every one of you tonight, you have your windows of opportunity. Some of your children, some of your grandchildren, some of the folks you work with. They're passing by. Them children's reared up in your house. God will let you know when your opportunity and your window comes. And if you're doing something else, if you're watching Hollywood parade hell across your living room and one of your children sitting in the corner crying under conviction, you missed it. I'd hate to face the judgment when God said, I had that little old boy of yours in a chariot looking and searching for God, and you're too busy at Walmart or Sears hunting a $500 dress, and you missed him.
And the Bible said Philip arose and went.
He didn't question, say, what are they paying down there? Are they independent or southern? What kind of building program have they got? Do they have any retirement? What's in the package deal? But it just simply said, Philip arose and went. Wouldn't it be wonderful in the last record of you if God said, I spoke, and He always arose and went? Ma'am, I want you to hear me tonight. I know no doubt There's folk in here tonight lost with your name on the church book. And I want to do something for you tonight. If God had helped me, I'd want to shake your grace and let you realize that hell's going to get you walking around with your name on the church book and never been saved. You're doomed. And if you don't get born again, hell's going to be a home. I think I've seen in my preaching time hundreds and maybe thousands miss the connection and go to hell. I think I've seen some mamas so wrapped up in the world and looking fancy that they never did determine their child is under conviction. I believe that's right. Oh, listen to this old preacher tonight. If you miss the chariot, if that little old passing by down at your house, God's appointed you and appointed that child in your house, you'd better not miss it. I'm going to tell you, them folks that you work with, from before the foundation of the world, God may have appointed a sinner to meet up with you. And if all you can do is enter his conversation or her conversation and tell the same jokes and never let them know that you know Jesus Christ, you'll answer to judgment. Are you all hearing me tonight? We've got so lazy about the faith. We are so petted here in America and hampered. Until we think God ought to just bring them and dump them in front of us and limp under conviction, and we ought to rub our hands over them and say, "You're saved." It don't work that way. I was in Shoney's restaurant earlier this year in Franklin, North Carolina, eating by myself. And I don't like that, but I always look at folk. I'm a people studier. Right by the side of my table, just a walkway between us, was the breakfast bar. And a Mexican lady working behind that bar, working frantically, had on those clear plastic gloves and working. And I thought to myself, that girl's got it better, I guess, than she's ever had it in her life. Raised in probably no more than a pig pen. And working frantically, and there's a little old, I call it a little old prissy lady, walked up to that bar and was looking around, and she said, "Ma'am," to that Mexican. I'm not sure she said ma'am. She said, "Hey, you." And finally, the lady stopped her labor and looked up and said, "Don't you have any warm plates?" And I thought, God help America, when we've got so pampered that we want a warm plate, we can't be satisfied to eat out of a cold plate. And that's what's happened at the house of God. We are entertained so much down at the house and over yonder at the singings until that's what we've got to have. And we don't want a preacher telling us about our sins and ungodliness and wickedness. We want a warm plate. Everything done just right. And while we're a-griping because somebody's shoes are not tied right, sinners pass by in their chariot and go to hell. Does anybody care tonight? I want to ask every one of you, look up here at me, do you care about sinners? You passed some today. You came in contact with some today. And it could have been your window of opportunity. Now, I think you know. I think when the time's right, you about know. But I'm going to tell you. It'd be good for you if everybody you run into knew you was a Christian.
Right. Yes, sir.
That's right. Now, Philip's on a mission. This man here is coming from what he thinks is worship. And he's got a scroll in his hand. It's not a Bible as we know it. But it's a rolled up deal. Ain't that right, Brother Jimmy? It's a rolled up deal.
and they just roll it and roll it until they got to where they wanted to read, and roll and unroll it, roll it over here and unroll it over here, and it's parchment. And this Ethiopian eunuch's got a hold of one, and he's reading it. And he's not reading about the Ten Commandments, and he's not reading about the sacrifices and all of that. He's just so happened. I mean, just so happened that he's reading in Isaiah,
yeah,
about a sheep led to the shearers. I mean, it just so happened. And then on top of that, it just so happened that here comes a preacher.
Amen.
And something's a-working in the mind of that Ethiopian eunuch. I do not know what influenced him, but he's looking for something.
Yeah.
And it just so happens what he's looking for, this preacher coming down through the desert has got the map to show him where it's at.
Yeah. Amen.
Bless his name.
Amen.
Do you think that your getting born again was just kind of happenstance? Do you think that all the blood that is shed of the bulls and the goats and the fire and the teachings of the buildings of the temple and Jesus Christ on Calvary, that you just kind of happened to get into it and just believe that Jesus was Christ and you've got it and maybe don't really realize whether you've got it or not, you just hope you have? What a farce. If all of that went on, when you become a part of it, you knew about it.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he's reading now. And like a lamb done before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Now I want you to notice the sequence here, and it's just so right. And all of that reading. Phillips is standing there in the desert. He didn't run to him, hand him a tract, and say, if you was to die tonight, do you know you'd go to heaven? He's standing right there just listening. And all at once, the Holy Ghost said, join yourself to the chariot. Did you know that you can't help a sinner till the Holy Ghost tells you to? You can go in the back of the building and tell them about God and drag them down here and try to pray when it don't do a bit of good at all. But once when God said, join yourself to that chariot, you can have a faith.
Amen.
Now, I want you to understand, God's wanting to save this sinner. And here's the preacher, and here's a sinner wanting to get right. He's got an urge in his heart of some kind. And Philip just goes. And I don't know about them chariots, but all them old buggies we used to ride in had a place to step up on about that big around. And you could step up on that and get in the chariot. And I can see Philip just go and lay his hand on that and walk along. Doesn't say they stop, just walking along. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Isn't it amazing? Now, he's not really what you'd call a soul winner. You say, somebody asked a friend of mine one night, one of these hot shot, independent, fundamental premillennials, and said, don't you know how to lead a man to God? And I said, what'd you tell him? He said, I didn't say anything. I said, you told him no. I don't know how to lead a man to God. That's the Holy Ghost's job.
Amen.
You ain't going to lead nobody to God. There ain't but one person can lead you, and that's the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, I guess that blew Dad. I want to tell you tonight, unto God, you better leave sinners alone until God speaks to them. You say, John's lost. I'm going to go with him. Go today over there and win him to God. You ain't going to do no such a thing. If God don't send you, you're going to make a mess. But if you let the Lord, you see, he knows when the sinner is right.
Amen.
I was out of picking blackberries this year. We got some tame blackberries in my backyard. I put me some out there and don't have any briars on them. Man, that's lit. Pick them berries and don't get stuck. And I noticed I was getting a hold of some of them berries and I couldn't hardly pull them off. But I noticed that sometimes when I'd get a hold of them, they just go down in my hand. I just drop them in that little old bucket I had. And I noticed that them that picked the easiest was the sweetest.
Amen. Yeah.
I tasted them that dropped off in my hand. Then I taste them that's hard to get off. And what a difference.
Amen.
And inside of me, I said, I'm just going to pick them easy ones, leave them tough ones, and I'll come back in about 3 or 4 days if the sun shines real good and the time is right. You see, before the berry gets ripe, I don't care how black it is, it's got to have a certain time.
Yeah,
that's right. And I'm going to tell you, you can't hurry it. And that sinner has got a certain time. God, let God work on him. Folks, parents will come to me and say, little John is under conviction. I say, let him get right.
Amen.
Don't you pick him. Don't fool with him. Don't you try to get him down in his living room. Repeat after you. Leave him alone. Let the Holy Ghost work and ripen him. God, so walk in him through repentance. Brother James, that girl walked around there then that Wednesday night, been on the altar and 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 been on the altar. Come to me that after the service that night. I've told it here and told it before I go and said, I want to talk to you. And every time I'd look up, here'd come Courtney. Whether we prayed or sung or preached, here'd come Courtney. And I look up, and here she come. But she came to me that Wednesday night. We sat down together, and she said, something happened to me another night. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to call it salvation yet. I'm just going to let it work out. I said, that'd be fine. Just let her work out. You got born again, I don't have to worry about it at all. And if you ain't got born again, waiting will be good.
Yeah.
She come back the next night and said, I want to talk to you. She talked again. And she said, I won't tell you this. I don't know what's going on. But she said, I woke up this morning wanting to sing. She don't know. See, she don't know. And she said, I read my Bible every night. But I woke up this morning wanting to study it. You know what's the matter with her? She's right.
Yeah.
On Friday morning, I got in a mess hole. She came up, running and stepping across there and said one more question. And she told me how she felt and what she's feeling. And she said, if it is you, would you say that same? I said, I guess I would. And she said, I'm ready to tell the world that I got born again. I never tried to coax that girl and say, honey, don't you think you prayed enough? Don't you think you look like to me you've repented enough? God's working.
Yeah.
She came to church on Sunday. I thought, now, if she got saved on Wednesday, it would still be good on Sunday. And on Sunday, I said, anybody need to say anything? She said, I want to say, it's unbelievably real.
Amen.
Woo! I say so, Courtney. I say so, sir. I say so, ma'am. It's unbelievably real.
Yes, sir.
God did it.
Yes.
Every service she's testified at least once, most time twice. And Sunday, I think, 3 times. Took her down the creek and put her in that cold water and brought her up. And she come to me when it's over and said, thank you, preacher, for baptizing me. Amen! She said that she come to me on a Wednesday night and said, preacher, I know I got saved. Tell me how to live. She said, how ought I to dress? Do I wear too much jewelry? Tell me about my clothes. And I said, inside a lady. It sounds like she got born again. Amen. I'm going to tell you, when you get a hold of them, when God's been working with them, and the Holy Ghost has been gotten the chariot with them, and you go out there and race and get them, they go, pick them. That's right, ain't it? Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you, the workings of God are far ahead of anything we can do. You can't get them under conviction. You don't know how. God can. You can't break a sinner down, but God can. And that Ethiopian eunuch said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, except some man just said, guide me. Now I'm going to tell you, here's a fine man that's got a high IQ. No wonder he is in the charge of the queen's treasury. He knew that he couldn't get in without the office of a man of telling him what that meant. You see, sinners can't decipher the scriptures. They can quote it. They can tell you the letter, but it's a dead letter. Until the Holy Ghost gets a hold of it, it's a dead letter. And it takes the preaching of the Word of God to make it alive. All the Democrats and Republicans in there together wouldn't be surprised. Some of them come out in the morning with scars on their face and band-aids on them. And while they're at it, America's going down the drain. You know what the answer to it all is? It's not Democrat, Republican, and George Bush. It's Jesus Christ. And it'll have to start in a local church somewhere with God's people carrying it to the chariot.
You've got a child or a friend now that's in the chariot, and God's told you to get to where they are. Oh, don't miss it. Some of your grandparents got young grandchildren. You don't know what you're going to do about them. Don't miss the chariot. I'm going to tell you mamas tonight, and I don't want to start no revolution, but there's a whole lot of mamas. You better realize you missed the chariot if you're over yonder in the factory working, and that little old boy is at a babysitter that don't know God. In my country a few years ago, the mom and daddy couldn't figure out why their little old babies are crying all the time, just crying and crying, just bring it home and feed and put it to bed from the babysitter. Get up in the morning, take it back, and that babysitter's doing all the bathing. But one weekend, they got the chicken, and they found cigarette burns around that baby's middle where that babysitter had punished that little old baby by burning it with cigarettes. I won't tell you tonight, under God, He's appointed the mama and the daddy to take care of the children. Amen. Ain't that right?
Yeah.
Oh, get them in the house of God. And I'm going to tell you something else. If they're not sick, don't put them in the nursery. Take them out with you. If they get to crying, take them out. And if they won't get right, whoop them till they do get right. Amen. I guess it's our oldest boy in one of my first revivals. Oh, that is his bad night. And his mama said, "You better get right or I'm going to whoop you." Didn't have a bit of effect on that boy. Took him outside after the second or third time she told him, "Be still." Kind of put the spanking on him, said, "You're going to be good." And he said, "No." And she said, "He's got his yes, his no's mixed up." Brought him back in, same old thing. And she took him out again, spanked him a little harder. And said, "You're going to do right?" And he said, "No." She said, "Surely this boy's mixed up." She took him back in, same old stuff. But she had a little old belt of mine. They had little thin belts back then. She took him out that time. Took a hold of him, and before she got on, he's saying, "Yes, Mama, yes, Mama, yes, Mama. Oh, yes." And he's been good in church ever since. Ain't that right? Well, a little old boy wanted to walk out in the highway. Our youngest boy wanted to walk out in the highway. And my wife said, "You can't do that, boy. A car will run over you." She'd go out there and look, and he'd be out in the highway. And she spanked him two or three times. And he went outside. She went out and looked out the door one day, and he's standing 1 foot in the highway and one back in the edge of the yard looking back at the house. And she took a switch and whipped him till there's blood on his legs. You say she shouldn't have done that. He's going to church today. I'd rather see switch blood on his legs than to see the blood in the road. You say, "Why are you saying all this for, preacher?" You better keep them around where it's at.
Yeah, that's right.
Keep them under your control down at the house of God. And I'm going to tell you, listen to me now, if they put their feet under your table and eat your groceries, they ought to go to your church.
Amen.
And act right.
That's right.
When they won't do that, you ought to change their eating place. My daddy used to say, "Son, I'm fixing to break your plate." I got the message.
Yes.
That's right, ain't it? But here somewhere across your path comes a little old somebody in a chariot. And if you're off time and out of gear with God, we're going to miss it.
Yes.
While I'm preaching tonight, God's put somebody in your mind that's in a chariot coming across your path. As sure as I'm a preaching tonight. Have you told them about Jesus? Have they heard you sing? You say, preacher, I can't sing. I believe I tried. And the Bible said, Philip, walking along by the side of him now. He said, who's he talking about? Of himself or somebody. And the Bible said, he invited Philip up into. We're getting down to business now. This is a close encounters of the spiritual kind. Now, what are you going to do when you get in the chariot? He's not only, you've not only attached yourself to his interests, but he's invited you to get with him. Oh, I've talked to sinners like that. When there's a little bit distant at first and willing to hear, but something happened in the chariot and they say, I want you to pray with me. They invited you up into the chariot. Until they do, you cannot work with them. But if they'll ever invite you, the Holy Ghost is going to have to get an invitation through them to you. Before you can work with them, before they can get an invitation, you're going to have to get one.
Amen.
And Philip got an invitation and got up in the chariot. And the Bible said he preached to him Jesus. Oh, it's what we need to tell the sinner what he needs. I come by a church over here today, me and the preacher. Big old glass front. Look like three or four buildings stuck together. And they've got things going on in the basement all the time. Games and parties. I heard a janitor say, the janitor of the First Baptist Church in Hodgenville, Kentucky, you'd be surprised what's on the floor on Monday morning when I go in to sweep the floor. Are you listening? I'm talking about Baptist folk now. And all the time, them little chariots are passing and being missed. While we play games and have singings and parties in the basement and know God. Would you tell somebody that God's real? Sinners, I want you to hear me now. You may think all this is fairy tale business. I don't think I've ever preached to a crowd of this size right here and smaller. But what I wasn't sure in my heart, there's at least one church member lost. No doubt in here tonight, you listen to me. You may fool the preacher if he's real sharp, you won't. But I'm going to tell you, you can't fool God. And if you're in here and never been saved, you're going to hell.
Right.
I don't care who your dad and mama was. I don't care how much money you've got and how good you think you've got it. Young lady, listen to me. If you don't get right with God, you're doomed.
Right.
And you can call us old fogies if you want to. But I'm a-looking at the chariot you're in tonight, and you're going to miss it. If you don't get where God would have you to do, you're going to miss it and go to hell. Well, thank you, Lord. At least one young lady is here tonight. Almost a young woman. A dying going to hell. No hope. And I want to tell you tonight, ma'am, don't go there. You can get right. While God's speaking to your heart, you ought to come to this altar and pray. Philip's in the chariot and preached to him Jesus. Can you imagine one person congregation and Jesus and Philip are preaching? Now get this tonight. I believe before a sinner can get saved, a man of God's got to preach to him. But I want you to get this now and get it for good. If you're not careful, the devil will say to you, I don't believe a preacher's got to get in the pulpit and scream and holler to a sinner before he can get right. That's right. You see, I don't know when a man of God's preaching and when he ain't. I mean, the preaching of the Word of God's in the Holy Ghost, but it just may be, you see, that a man of God sitting beside a hospital bed talking to a sinner laying there lost and doomed, and the Holy Ghost in him. You say, can't it happen with anybody else? Not if you're not a preacher, it can't happen. But God working through the man of God talking to a sinner, you don't have to be screaming with a Bible in your hand. If you're a preacher and God's commissioned you and you're talking in the Holy Ghost, God will count it a preaching to his soul. Amen. Oh, I'm glad I know that. Amen. But without that, he'll never get him. And Philip's a preaching to him now, riding down through this. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Philip wasn't raising his voice. There's something exciting about talking to a sinner that's doomed. And I want to tell you again tonight, sinner, if you don't get born again, you're gone. There is a hell and you're a-going. This ain't no fairy tale. You are a-going. And all at once, the Ethiopian eunuch said, what keeps me from getting baptized? Said this one thing. If you believe with all your heart.
Yes.
Well, I need to talk about that now. You say, well, preacher, there you are contradicting yourself. If it is all right for that sinner there just to believe, isn't it all right for other sinners? No, it won't work. And I'm going to tell you why. All of them people had been taught. I'm going to tell you, if I had 25 Jews right here tonight, and if I could get them to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you couldn't keep them out of this altar. They'd run over you, fall on their face, and be in this altar tomorrow morning at this time if they didn't get born again. You see, that's what they're waiting for. That's what they're putting all their dependence on. And if they ever believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, they're going to get right. But that ain't enough for an old hell-bound Gentile. We've got to repent absolutely before God. And we've got to be instructed to do that. That's all you got to tell a Jew. If he ever believes the rest of it, he'll take care of it. That's right, ain't it? But I've got to tell you, if you don't repent, you'll never get born again. And I'm going to tell you what repentance is. It's a change in fathers. If you're lost, you're of your father, the devil. And he's marching you around, poking you and driving you. When you get sick and tired enough for him that you're willing to change fathers, you're getting down to saving business. When you get ready to say, I'm leaving you, I put no more trust and confidence in you, I'll not follow you anymore, and turn to Jesus Christ and say, I'll take whatever you've got for me. I'm now under your control, and by faith, like a little child, I'm reaching out to you. And if you mean it, and God knows you mean it, there'll be something happening on the inside of you. Amen. I'm glad I know I changed fathers one morning about sunup and come to myself and shout glory, and it's still real tonight. Bless his name. I got born again. I didn't get sung in and read in. I got born in, and I'm in tonight by his glory and grace and power. Saved, saved, saved. Whoa! I'm glad I'm in. Well, I'm rich. I just thought I'd tell y'all, I'm rich tonight. Amen. I keep getting these mail out from these places that says you may have already won. I guess it's been 10 years ago. I got one of them big long envelopes from Reader's Digest. I believe it's up to $10 million. I was sitting in my lawn, recliner, reading my mail. There it was, said, you may have already won. I opened it up and I got to thinking. I said, honey, she was in the kitchen. She come to the door and said, what do you want? I said, good, would it help us any? Could we be more happy if we had $10 million? She said, I don't see how we could. Amen. We're saved. Our children are going to the house of God. We got a roof over our head. We're dry and warm and happy together. I don't know what $10 million does seem more good. And I said, I don't either. Just throw it in the garbage. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, being born again is the best. It's not one of the, it's the best thing that ever happened to you. I'll tell you what, ma'am, tonight, I'd ditch your old ways. I'd change fathers and I'd get in. I'm going to tell you, you'll never be sorry you got born again. I'm going to tell you all tonight, you hear me tonight, I don't know how many revivals I've been in. I don't know how many souls I've seen saved. Maybe 1,000. I don't know. I don't know how many testimonies I've heard from real saints of God. It looked like if there's a rotten place in this apple, I'd heard somebody say, I'm sorry I ever got mixed up in this mess. But all them churches, all them testimonies, all them people getting saved, all I've ever heard is I thank God for the day, for the morning, for the night, that I've been down yonder and got birthed into the family of God. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad, thank God, the blood of the darling Son of God is a running through the veins of my soul. And I'm in His family tonight, not because of what I've done, but because of what He done. And I'm ready. You know, somebody, I'm going somewhere, heading for a land called glory, because of Calvary and the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I feel like having a Tuesday night feast. I'm going to tell you, I've never been more glad, Brother Charles Dixon, than I am tonight. And I know I'm saved. Are you saved? Would you raise your hand? Oh, yes. Glory be to God tonight for knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're in. I don't have to go to preacher and say, what do you think? If I've been coming to church good, been reading my Bible, I've been singing in the choir and dressing right, what do you think, preacher? I'm glad I don't have to. Amen. I can go to church with a gunny sack shirt on and carrying a Bible that's tore all to pieces and sit in the back of the church. I'm as saved as Peter and Paul, because one morning I got birthed in. Bless His name. I'm glad I'm saved. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. Are you? Can you say you're ready?
Yeah.
Can you remember? Can you remember how it was? We didn't have an old time preacher. We didn't. I had an old-time dad and mom. We didn't have an old-time preacher. But they called one by mistake, I told you before. They thought they made a mistake. They called one feller with the same name, trying to get to everyone. They called another with the same name as old-timer. God. That's right.
That's right. That's it.
And old Brother Jones come a preaching. Amen. On a hot August afternoon. Oh, bless His name. Under deep conviction. That old man a preaching. My chariot coming down through here. Didn't make connection that day. But one morning, as a result of all of that, down yonder on the hillside, me and God met in the desert. Amen. I reached and changed fathers that morning. That other's been hollering at me. Saying, don't you think you ought to look this way again? No, sir. There ain't anything back there in that place I want. Amen. I'm glad I got in. I want to tell you, if I don't do anything else tonight, if I could just warm you up to the idea of living right, and meeting your chariot. Mine and your chariot won't be the same. We're going to have to meet. I got some little old grandyoungins coming on. And I'm going to aim to be there when the chariot comes through. I don't know when it'll be. I don't know what age it'll be. But somewhere, I've already got two grandchildren now coming to the altar, Brother Neesmith. Neither one of them's saying, you say, if I was there, I'd get them in. No, you wouldn't. I wouldn't let you talk to them if you're going to go on with some old garbage. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to talk to them about and cry over them, I remember some of them old meetings when sinners come to the altar, and there'd be people shouting all around, and them sinners praying, them old women shouting and hollering and singing. Yeah. You say, did that get them saved? No, sir, did not get them saved.
No, I didn't.
But it set the atmosphere.
Sure is.
That Holy Ghost of God hovering around that church, and the atmosphere just right moved in. And I've seen 3, 4, 5 get saved at the same time because folks had the atmosphere right. You see, everything come together at the right time. I've seen sinners come up on the altar just pop like popcorn up that altar getting born again. Amen. Did you say all of them stick? All of them got saved, did?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I wonder how it is at your place. Mama at your home. Sir at your home. How is it tonight? Can you say you're so living that if God said, join yourself to the chariot, you wouldn't have to be afraid to say, I'm ready, Lord. There's just some things in your life that need straightening out. I'd like some way to make you realize that it's not just the preacher. It's you.
That's right.
And your chariot's coming through. Maybe saw it today. And let it get by you. You might need to pray tonight, sinner. If you're hearing God's touched your heart, and I know at least one He's touched your heart, you ought to come and pray. If you just come in this altar and say, God help me, and get up and go back to your seat, won't be nobody bother you. If you really feel burdened, I'm going to stay and pray. We'll do everything we can. All we can do is pray for you. We can't save you. But we can pray for you and help get the atmosphere right around here where God can work. Ma'am, if you'll come, I want you to pray, if you will. I don't think we'll have to have any singing. Everybody stand, please. If God has touched your heart in whatever fashion tonight and you need to pray, I want you to come. You better obey tonight. Mamas and daddies, what a responsibility. Grandma and grandpa, what a responsibility. Will you come tonight? Ask God to help you to be in the right place at the right time, in the right condition. Oh, that's right. Amen, Miss May. No doubt others tonight, God's attention to our hearts. Young lady, don't sit and wait. Obey the touch and the leadership of God tonight to come. While He's working, dealing with your heart, don't you fail. Others may think you're already saved. That won't lessen the pain of the fires of hell. Would you come tonight, ma'am? Sir, would you come? While God's dealing with you. Oh, I want God to save tonight. I want to see the power of God fall. I want some praying folk here in this altar. I want some men and women that can pray to come to this altar right now. I want you to come pray. This girl on my right's lost. And I want you to come and pray. Others may need to come. Just pray for yourself. However it is, would you come help us tonight? Would you come help us tonight? I'll tell you what, I'd pray out. I wouldn't be ashamed if I asked you to pray.
Oh,